In today's Mishnah, we're in the 7th and 8th Mishnah from the 8th Parak Masechta Bechorot. And in this Mishnah, we begin discussing the Chamesh Slaim, exactly what Slaim, what are these coins we're talking about. And the reason why it's important is because when the Torah refers to Chamesh Shkalim, these five silver coins, and that is equivalent to what the Mishnah says by Chamesh Slaim, that's simply the terminology used by the Mishnah. In times of Moshe Rabbeinu, what was their weight in silver? That was understood as being 320 garinim, seeds the size of a seora, in terms of that weight in silver. And in times of Beit Sheni, they increased that midah of a shekel, meaning that that coin now had to be of a greater weight, so increased it by 20%, and so that was equal to 384 garinim. And that's referred to as Sela Tzuri, or Mane Tzuri, as we'll see in the Mishnah. What's that equivalent to? The way Kite explains it, it's effectively 19.2 grams according to the shear of the Chazon Ish, which according to the rates I just saw now in terms of the price of silver per gram is about, for a seller, about, let's say, $10. And obviously the shear is according to today's date, and if you hear it later, price of silver might change. Please speak to your financial advisor regarding the price of silver. But let's continue with this Mishnah. So again, what would Yonah Ben be? That would be about $50 in terms of value. Let's continue. So the Mishnah says, Chamesh Slaim Shel Ben, this five Slaim for Piyona Ben, is using this Manetsuri, this more expensive Manetsuri, the value of a shekel was increased. And Shloshim Shel Eved, the fine that has to be paid in the instance where someone's ox gores an eved, is killed, the owner of the ox has to pay the owner of this eved, of this servant, this fine of shloshim shkalim, as it says in the Torah. Similarly, v'chamishim shel ones v'shel mefateh, the fine that has to be paid in the case of rape or seduction of a nara betula, we learned about this back in Seder Nashim, that aside from the other components of compensation that obviously have to be paid, the fine that is paid to the father is worth chamishim kesef. Similarly, u'me'ah shel motzi shemra, meaning the me'ah kesef that is paid in the case of motzi shemra. So motzi shemra was a situation where a couple got married and the husband immediately after the first night claims that his wife was not a betula and therefore claimed that she effectively had a affair during the engagement period. And then he's found to be making the story up. It was proven to, he has to pay this fine of me'ah kesef. So Mishnah says, kulam, all these fines that we're discussing in the Mishnah, that's b'shekel ha-kodesh b'manetzori. That is this manetzori, according to that silver coin that was in times of Beit Sheni. And Mishnah then continues, for kulam niftim, all the cases where we have pidyon, say pidyon aben, hektesh, they can be redeemed b'kesef or b'shave kesef, meaning you could either use coins, or in fact you can use something of monetary value. We're going to qualify this in the next Mishnah. Chutz, the exception to that is shkalim, meaning the machatzit shekel, the obligation of every single individual to contribute a half shekel on a yearly basis, which was used to fund the korbanot, that has to be given in a coin. You cannot give something else of monetary value to satisfy that obligation. The Braita and the Gemara also adds, not just that, also Maaser, when you're trying to redeem Maaser Sheni, the second tithe, in order to take the money to Yerushalayim and then purchase a korban, well, that has to be done with money as well. The Harayon, meaning 3 times a year when we do Aliyah LaRegel, go to Beit HaMikdash, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, one would have to bring an Olat Re'iyah, this Olah, fully burnt offering. And that had to be purchased with a matbea shel kesef. It has to be purchased with a coin and not something that's of a silver coin. Lesson of the Mishnah. The Mishnah then continues, Ein podim, despite the fact we just said one can redeem, in other words, do pidyon haben with something of monetary value, he cannot do so with avadim, shtarot, v'karkaot. He cannot do so with either servants, with a loan, I should say a contract for a loan, or a karka with land. In other words, you cannot give that to the coin and say, look, I've done my bit because I've given you something that's worth this 5 shkalim. Now, why is that? That is because when the pasuk says as follows, ben chodesh kesef shkalim, the Torah says that when you have to do this pidyon ben from 30 days old, it is redeemed with 5 shkalim. So in this pasuk, you have what's called a klal prato klal, a general statement, something specific, and then followed by another general statement. Even though it's actually not written in that order in the Pasuk. What does it mean? In the beginning it says you have to do redeem, Pidyon ben chodesh, that's a general statement. Then you've got something specific that talks about using Chamesh Shkalim, specifically these silver coins, followed by another general statement, which is Tifteh, you should be redeemed. Now when you have a Klal Prato Klal, the understanding is that from a legal perspective, when you derive the laws from this Pasuk, that it has to be something that's Ke'ena Prat, something similar to that which was specified. not exactly that which was specified, something similar to the specified. So the Chachamim understand that it has to be, therefore, something that's mitaltel, something that's movable. Well, that gets rid of land and avadim, because generally avadim are connected legally with land in terms of laws of purchases and acquisitions. And not only does it have to be movable, it has to have, itself have monetary value, as opposed to a loan document that implies, meaning it's used to extract the sum written in it, but it doesn't have that value in and of itself. And that's why those things are excluded. So Mishnah also adds, v'lo b'hektashot, also when it comes to hektash that cannot be redeemed with avadim, shtarot, and karkod. Mishnah then continues, k'tav la'kohen shu chayiv lo chamesh slayim. If you wrote to the kohen, he said, look, I don't have any time for this. Here, I owe you 5 slayim. Then in chayiv letenlo, he has to give him that amount of money. Ubanayim padoi, but that didn't satisfy his obligation pinyon aben. So now, not only does initially he owed a kohen 5 slayim, and now he owes him 10. So the Mishnah says, l'fichach, since this individual has to really give him 5 and then another 5, the Mishnah says, Imratzah kohen litenlo matanai. If the kohen wants, after the pidyon aben, to give him back the 5 slayim so that he can satisfy the debt, then Rashai is able to do so. However, if the father was relying on that outcome when he first gave that first slayim, 5 slayim, then it wouldn't work. Let's continue. Hamafrish pidyon beno v'avad. If the father set aside 5 slayim and said, this is for my son, and it's lost, the Mishnah then says, Chai bachrut, well, since he hasn't given it to the Kohen, because it's like a matana, it's a gift that's to be given to the Kohen, this relates to the Mishnah Yomim articles that we've been discussing over the last number of weeks, then we say he is Chai bachrut, he has to still pay him, meaning he hasn't satisfied his obligation. Why? Shneimar says, Yelach, refer to the Kohen, the money will be to you, and then, ach, then it says, Pado tifte, then the Bechor will be redeemed, meaning the obligation, the redemption is only satisfied once the money is actually in the hands of the Kohen. Those are Mishnah today.